high short kick that is going to come up and bounce at the 20. Rutgers has a chance to recover it, and they do! What a play by the Scarlet Knights!
Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win! Got it!
10 and 10 at the 21. Wimsett hands it off. It's Manunga getting to the corner left. 20, 15, catching to 10. Manunga down near the goal line. He is in! Touchdown, Rutgers!
Now with six. Baker making his move with five. Step back three for the lead. Oh. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
All right, happy Thursday here at the Scarlet Faithful Podcast. Wanted to start off with some lacrosse updates for both men's and women's lacrosse for Rutgers with Big Ten tournament action starting this weekend. Wanted to touch on some football ahead of the spring game on Saturday, and then also touch on some basketball. Just some thoughts on the roster, touching more off of from yesterday in terms of when I touched on the center proposition and Cliff and the future and all that. So, starting off, Big Ten Honors was announced this week for men's and women's lacrosse. Men's lacrosse had multiple players recognized. Carden Stoller, goalkeeper, named Freshman of the Year in the Big Ten. That is certainly a big deal. As a redshirt freshman, starting goalkeeper, posted just under 11 goals against, had about a 54% save percentage. He was Freshman of the Week four different times. Basically, whenever Rutgers had a big win, he was huge in net, certainly a great pickup for Brian Precht and the program. And then two stalwarts in the program, Shane Knobloch, Ross Scott, both named first team All Big Ten selections. This is five of the last 6 years now that Rutgers had multiple first team selections. Knobloch was the lone midfielder on the first team. It's the third straight season he's been named All Big Ten. Second in a row, first team. He's had a tremendous career at Rutgers. And then Scott as well, third straight season, All Big Ten honors. First time on the first team. And he's a team high 42 points with 19 goals and 23 assists. They've had a little bit of a disappointment. They're 1-4 in the Big Ten. They are the number six seed in the conference. And they are 7-6 overall. They travel to Penn State on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Games on BTN Plus streaming live, actually same time as the spring game for football. So that obviously is a huge opportunity for them to keep the season alive, but doesn't negate the fact that, you know, Knobloch and Scott have been two just tremendous players for this program for a very long time. And then Carden Stoller, the goalkeeper, getting the Rookie of the Year honors, certainly big for him and for Rutgers. So we'll keep you posted on how they do in the Big Ten tournament. Hopefully they can make a little bit of a run here. We'll see. As for Rutgers women's lacrosse, also unfortunately a disappointing season, 7-9 overall, 1-5 in conference play. They are the number six seed as well. They will play number three seed Maryland on Saturday at 4 p.m. Also streaming on Big Ten Plus. Both are road games, by the way. Cassidy Spillis recently set the program record for most goals and points and is she is five away from being the leader in draw controls as well. She's had a tremendous career. She's second in the nation in goals scored. She was named to her fourth consecutive first team All Big Ten in her career under Melissa Lehman. And hopefully she can lead this team to a little bit of a run here in the postseason. That's their only shot to make the NCAA tournament. So hopefully Rutgers can pull the upset. Last year as the sixth seed, they upset Johns Hopkins, who was the three seed. So maybe they could do it 2 years in a row. Moving on, did want to recognize Rutgers women's tennis, who got a win in the Big Ten tournament on Wednesday against Michigan State. Guaranteed a winning season. They're now 13-11. They're in the middle of facing Illinois right now, the five seed in the Big Ten tournament. Hopefully they could pull it out. And also some news with women's tennis. So wanted to recognize that Yana Garavich was named to the All Big Ten team for tennis, the first player in Rutgers history to do so, which is obviously a big deal. She had a big win in that Big Ten tournament victory over Michigan State. Garavich has 10 wins, both singles and doubles. She leads RU with five Big Ten singles wins, including the highest-ranked solo victory in program history over the 80th-ranked player, Maria Shalakova at Wisconsin. So good for her. Good for Rutgers women's tennis. That's a program that's, you know, shown some improvement the last couple of years. So stay tuned to that. Moving on to football, it was announced this week that Rutgers-UCLA on October 19th will be homecoming for the Scarlet Knights this fall. Obviously, a highly anticipated season upcoming. And a new Big Ten member, kind of fun to have as a homecoming opponent. Washington will also visit. That's the first conference game of the season in late September. But, you know, that should be a winnable game there for Rutgers on homecoming. Should be a lot of buzz and excitement. So that was good to hear. And then obviously the spring game. One thing about that, you know, I think it's going to be interesting is there's going to be a lot of veterans that are not going to play. We already know some, you know, like Kyle Manunga, Robert Longenbeam are out. But, you know, in terms of what to look for, I'm going to have a full preview on Friday with David Anderson. But, you know, it's going to be kind of a preview of the future, I think, to see what some of the true freshmen look like. Some of the, you know, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, guys that maybe aren't on the two deep right now are going to get a lot of run and exposure in the spring game. You know, those types of things, you always have to, everyone gets super excited. But, you know, there's not necessarily a lot that's going to come that's going to tell you specifically things about this upcoming team in the fall. Obviously, we're all going to be wanting to and pay attention to the quarterback position with Ethan Kalikmanis, with Gavin Wimsatt. Also, first look at A.J. Cerise, look at the development of Ajani Shepherd. So that will be interesting to see. But overall, I think, you know, how do some of the younger players look? Who potentially could help this upcoming season? And almost more importantly, who's going to look like a Big Ten impact player or can develop into that in the future? Talked about after the 24 season, Rutgers losing a ton of two deep and starters on this team. It's going to be a ton of opportunity. And it's been a productive spring, I think. Coaching staff seemed pretty upbeat. Been impressed with a lot of their pressers. So Saturday, a lot of buzz there. And I'll have David Anderson on Friday for the preview. Shifting to basketball. So I talked at length about Rutgers and, you know, potentially adding another big man on Wednesday in this cycle of the offseason, portal season. And just talking about, you know, what a great run Cliff Omori had at Rutgers and why the likelihood of his return is not strong at all. And obviously the NIL center market right now is extremely high. And I hope Cliff demands. One thing I didn't say about Cliff is, you know, he's set to visit Alabama this week. And if I were him, I think he makes sense in the SEC. They play an up and down game. He's going to be able to get out in space. Alabama is a team that, you know, basically only shoots threes and only scores at the rim. So playing on a team with that's going to space the floor, stretch the floor, as good as Cliff is athletically and in space. I think Alabama is an ideal situation for him. They can afford to pay him a lot. I hope it works out for him. I hope it works out for him there. I think that would be a great spot for him coming out, you know, joining a Final Four team. And by the way, the notion that NBA scouts are only going to be aware of Cliff if he's at Rutgers. I mean, if he goes to Alabama, last year in the draft, Brandon Miller, number two draft pick by the Charlotte Hornets. Played at Alabama. So scouts go to Big East games. They go to Big 12 games. They go to SEC games. Yes, they'll be going to a lot of Rutgers games next year. But I've seen a lot of push from Rutgers fans justifying Cliff should come back because he's going to have all this exposure with the scouts from the NBA. And he's going to have that anywhere he goes. And NIL is such a huge piece of this. So I hope he gets his. I hope he benefits and finds a great situation for him. On the flip side, you know, I talked about, in addition to adding a big man, the benefits of Lethan Somerville. You know, he had a great interview with a hat tip to Chris Tsonakis of 24/7 Sports. Great interview with him. And he just seems highly motivated. He's putting in a lot of work right now. He's lifting a lot, which is great to hear. Because if he can add some muscle to that frame and really get to really good shape and be able to run the floor, you know, his offensive skill set, I think people maybe are underestimating. And his just versatility in terms of being able to do the four, the five, you know, and also just in terms of his defense, rebounding, I think he's going to be a key contributor. And then I also touched on Emmanuel Okwuegbole, who, you know, has such a huge frame and Rutgers is really high on. Like I said, he reminded me of Cliff in his film. And he was coming off an injury. So I think. a year removed from that, a year of development in the program. I think writing him off as a contributor next year would be a mistake. And then I started thinking about it, and I was looking at it. I've mentioned before, you know, Steve Peichel has glowed about the Michigan teams of past with John Beilein, and how did John Beilein play? You know, he spaced the floor. He had bigs that were shooters, right? And the European model, I mean, he had Mo Wagner, who was 6'11", but was a perimeter-oriented guy. So I really think that that's how Rutgers is going to want to play. And it does sound like Lathan has some of that to his game, can stretch the floor. We know Zach Martini can stretch the floor. I think, you know, listen, at Princeton, he played the 4 and the 5. They could use him at spots there. But looking back at Beilein's arguably his best team, the team that went, he's had a couple, you know, Final Four national championship runs. But in 2018, right, they went 33-8. They finished 7th in KenPom. They lost in the national title game to Villanova. They were 35th nationally in offensive efficiency, 3rd in defensive efficiency. They were really, really good around the rim. They were 55% at the two-point range, 33rd best nationally. They were a terrible free throw shooting team, 326 at 66%. They were average from three, 35.2%, 156th. A little bit above average, a little bit. They didn't turn the ball over. They were not a good rebounding team. Maybe a profile that this Rutgers team could end up being. Solid, not spectacular from three, really good around the rim. They're going to be a better free throw shooting team than that. I could tell you that. Just in terms of who they've added with Martini, Acuff, you know, and Ace, Dylan. Those guys are going to be a better free throw shooting team. I have a lot of confidence there. And then defensively, you know, they weren't elite at anything, but they were in the top 100 in every category in terms of two-point defense, three-point defense, offensive rebounding, in terms of preventing their opponent on the offensive glass, forcing turnovers, holding effective field goal percentage, not allowing a ton of free throws. So I'm not trying to jump the gun here, but what I'm saying is, looking back at that team, knowing that Peichel loved those teams, right? If you look at the way the roster is constructed right now, it's pretty interesting. I think that although everyone's saying Rutgers needs a true center out of the portal, an elite center, right? You have Lathan Somerville and Agboole, who are both, you know, 6'10 and above. And then you have, positionally, aside from Jermichael Davis, who's, you know, 6'1, 8 other scholarship players that are between 6'4 and like 6'9. That is overall, that's a pretty big team, you know? And you have Dylan Harper at 6'6. You have Aces, you know, he was measured at 6'8. I think he's a little bit taller than that now. If he can add some muscle, you know, people forget about Dylan Grant, who's had the year off. But everyone you hear about that's seen him play raves about him. He dominated the EYBL last year. You know, he could be a factor. You have Bryce Dortch is 6'8". You know, Jeremiah Williams, Jordan Durkak, and Tyson Acuff are all 6'4", 6'5". This is a big team, and it's extremely versatile. You have guys that can defend multiple positions. You have a lot of ball handlers. You have multiple guys that can shoot the three. You have a lot of guys that can get to the rim, a lot of guys that finish historically in their careers over 60% at the rim. You have some guys with really low turnover percentage, how they can meld and gel together. But if you start looking at kind of how pieces potentially could fit on paper, I do think there's some similarities to that. Again, I'm not saying expectations should be Rutgers make a run in the national title game. What I'm saying is the Michigan team that went to the national title game, if you look at their profile, Mo Wagner was 6'11", played on the perimeter. They had Charles Matthews, who was 6'6". You had Rahman, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, he was 6'4". Xavier Simpson, 6'. You had Duncan Robinson, 6'8". You did have John Teske, who had, you know, came off the bench. He was a 7-footer, but he was a backup. You had, in terms of Isaiah Livers, who was a freshman but played a decent amount, he was 6'7". Eli Brooks didn't play too much on that team. He was 6'. And Jordan Poole, I forgot about him. He was a freshman. That was a very talented team. Don't get me wrong. A lot of pros on that team, but he was 6'4". So in terms of size, I mean, you had, you know, two contributors, two rotational guys, 6'7", 6'8". You had a 6'6 guy. You had a bunch of guards at 6'4". And you had your starting big, 6'11", who was a finesse guy, stretch five. Now, that is the type of dynamic that Rutgers could have on the floor. And actually, you could argue, just in terms of a size and versatility, I'm not saying talent, they're a little bit deeper on paper than if you look at that rotation. Now, a ton of talent on that Michigan team. Beilein is a Hall of Fame coach. But I think Steve Peichel has a vision. And I've said many times, including yesterday, that they don't need a big that's going to post up and the offense is going to run through. They want to shoot. They want to space the floor. They want to score at the rim. I think you're going to see a lot more threes and a lot more shots within 5 feet of the rim and a lot less mid-range. Again, I think an underrated part of this team is all the ball handlers they're going to have and all the size with those ball handlers that they're going to have. So it's going to be a really interesting team. And everyone's on edge, of course. You know, there's two spots to fill. How Rutgers is going to do that remains to be seen. Jadon Jones, an update there. He is on an Oklahoma visit. So that's going to be an uphill battle. You know, Rutgers has obviously had him on a visit last week, and he would be a great addition as a 3-and-D guy, career 37% three-point shooter, 590 attempts, former All-Big West Defensive Player of the Year. So we'll see what happens there. They're going to wait it out. He is on a visit to Oklahoma, so that will be interesting to see what happens there. Butler sounds like maybe that visit's not going to happen. But there's a lot to like about this roster. There's a lot of unknown. I get it. You know, there's young guys that are unproven. But if you start looking at the size, the skill sets, and how I think Peichel is envisioning this team to play, it's a really exciting prospect. And patience is tough. And, you know, the portal is a new hourly news cycle at this point that people want updates on. And you know Rutgers is doing their due diligence. By the way, Akpar from Ohio State already committed to Tennessee. You know, I heard the NIL on that is really big. Andrew Carr from Wake Forest is the final three. Everyone said he wanted to go local. Nova is in his top three, but so is Kentucky and Texas Tech, where apparently he's visiting. So, again, NIL is a huge factor in this. The big names, unfortunately, I don't think are going to come to Rutgers. And, yeah, I think it's NIL. I think that's a big reason why. So fans should remain very optimistic. The whole idea of, you know, why don't they want to come play with Dylan? Why don't they come play in front of scouts? Why don't they come play in front of the rack? I mean, the right guys that want to and that want to play a role and will be good fits for this team, they will. We just have to wait it out. He's gotten a lot of positive additions to the roster already. We'll see what happens. Thanks so much for listening. The Scarlet Faithful podcast once again.